everybody, happy new year and welcome back to another edition of the Pitching In NPL show. This week we'll be looking back at all the results from from the 2nd of January. And later in the show, we'll be looking ahead to this weekend's matches, which will be taking place on Saturday. We're back. Matt Carruthers will be joining us later for a full fixture preview for this weekend's big matches this weekend. But joining me now for a little look back at last week's results across the Northern Premier League, Premier Division, it's a big welcome back and a happy new year to Mr. James Hayes. Hello, James.
Happy new year, Ben. How are you doing?
I'm all right. I'm all good. It's good to be back. We never really left, did we, actually? We did a show together on Saturday. That went out on Saturday. So we're off in June and July. That's when we go on our holidays. I don't actually. I do rugby, don't I? But anyway, enough about me. We are going to be joined, incidentally, this week by the managers at Hyde United, at Gainsborough Trinity, at Radcliffe, at South Shields and at Stalybridge Celtic, and we'll be having a fixture preview as well with Mark Carruthers, football writer from the northeast of England. But some big results from the weekend, and speaking of the northeast, we might as well start with South Shields. 1-0 wins leagues, so the cliche goes. Morpeth Town 0, South Shields 1. Tom Broadbent scoring just before half time at Craig Park on Monday afternoon. Big result that one for South Shields, maintaining that 3-point gap up at the top, also having two games in hand still over Hyde.
Yeah, bragging rights as well, because Morpeth Town in the past has been quite a stumbling block for South Shields. So 1-0 win league sometimes. Got a great defensive record still. And going into the second half of the season, 3 points clear with two games in hand. Morpeth Town, though, because that's a sixth defeat in a row now.
Morpeth Town currently just above the relegation places. We'll cover those positions off shortly. But let's stick with the league leader. South Shields there with a 1-0 victory at Morpeth Town. 3-point lead up at the top of the NPL Premier Division. Let's welcome back now the manager at Mariners Park. It's a big welcome back to the show, to Kevin Phillips. Well, Kevin, a big thank you for joining us and a happy new year to you. And, a good welcome back after the imposed winter break with two fantastic victories over Whitby Town and Morpeth. I mean, how's it been since Boxing Day?
Yeah, brilliant. I think, first and foremost, happy new year to all the listeners. It's been, I think the lead up to Christmas was difficult for everyone in and on league with games being cancelled due to the weather. So we unfortunately didn't play for nearly, I think, over 3 weeks. After the Ashton, the disappointment end to the Ashton game 3-3. So we had to stew on that for a few weeks, but had lots of time to prepare, get everyone within our squad fully fit, ready to go Boxing Day. I give the players the day off on Christmas Day and trusted that they would do things right. And we were looking for a big performance on Boxing Day against Whitby, and we certainly got that. You know, we run out fairly comfortable winners in the end, although, you know, they've scored two goals, which was our own doing, but it was nice to bounce back, score the four goals and get the win and start the Christmas period off, the Christmas period in between that and New Year, with a bang. And then we had a virtually another week to prepare for the local derby against Morpeth, which is always a tough, tough game, tough, tough opponents, you know, the bragging rights, form, et cetera, et cetera. So we prepared really well and was confident going into the game on New Year's Day. And ultimately, you know, we used our experience and our nous and took our opportunities and managed to win the game. So we've had a really, really good, positive performances over the festive period.
Yeah, I'm sorry to bring it up, but, the Ashton result at the start of December, I mean, we're taught, you know, being involved in English football for most of our lives, that the festive period's a very busy time. You would have been really keen to, you know, bounce back as quickly as possible, but then one weekend after another, postponed. That must have been tough, though, to keep everyone focused and to try and bounce back as soon as possible after the Ashton result.
Yeah, of course it is. You know, to concede the goals in the manner that we did after having a comfortable lead was a bitter pill for everyone to swallow. You know, we kind of have gone from one extreme to the other in terms of our season so far. You know, at the beginning of the season, we were keeping clean sheets for fun, but not really scoring. And then we've gone into a period now where we're scoring goals for fun, take the Morpeth result out of it, where we're scoring goals for fun and then we just couldn't keep clean sheets. So it's amazing how you can't really put your finger on it. And Ashton was that, you know, that in case, you know, we were comfortable. And then it just shows you in football, you switch off, you don't do things right, you get punished and it's fine margins and we got punished on our day. So it felt like a loss in the dressing room afterwards. And we clearly didn't, I don't think anybody did think that you would have to wait three and a half weeks to play your next game. You know, because the beauty of this league, as I've always said, if you get a bad result, you generally only have to wait 3 or 4 days and you can put it right. So to stew on it for that long was tough. But also, you know, on the flip side of that, give us plenty of time to reevaluate, you know, analyse, work on the training ground, get everybody fully fit to go again on Boxing Day. And the lads certainly responded in the right manner in the performance against Whitby.
Yeah, absolutely. And we've discussed this numerous times about the change that's happened at South Shields. It's about you're not afraid to get tough wins and, you know, get 1-0s and pick up the 3 points that way. I mean, Morpeth away, notoriously for South Shields and for most teams in this league over the years, has been a tricky away. So to get a 1-0 like that on the 2nd of January, that bodes very, very well indeed, I'm going to suggest, for 2023.
Of course. I think any team, from my experience, that gets promoted, wins championships, you have to grind those 1-0s out. They're the important results come the end of the season. And the lads were very, very aware of that going into the game. I think we kind of went into it with a little bit of grit between our teeth in terms of we felt we owed them one from last season. We felt we deserved to win the game, but we didn't. So there was a little bit of payback there, but we didn't use it as a motivation. We just, for us, yes, it's a local derby. We're top of the form table. They were bottom of the form table. But, you know, as we all know, form does go out the window in a local derby, although I'd rather be in the form we're in going into it. But it was a very close game. And, you know, it's never easy. We only just narrowly beat them at home. And, you know, we've only narrowly beaten them away. But it was nice, always nice to beat your local rivals twice in one season. I think that's the first time Shields have done that since 1998. So, you know, it's a good little achievement for the players. But you're right, them types of results at your local rivals can be very, very important come the end of the season.
Yeah, so heading into 2023, top of the table, 3 points clear, with games in hand. However, you'll know this, having, you know, managing the team and that kind of thing. The game's coming up for South Shields. If you get the majority of points out of this coming January, then you've done very, very well indeed. I mean, Marine at home this weekend, Guiseley away, Matlock away, FC at home, Atherton Coles away, Mask away. This is a tough January coming up, isn't it? And I've read them out.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, we knew it was coming. You know, it's the same for every team in this league. There's going to be lots of games that have been cancelled due to the weather, so you're always going to be playing that slight catch up, and the games come thick and fast. But we have, you know, I was doing training today, we had 21 players on the training ground. I don't think there's many teams in our league that would have that amount of players to pick from, so we have got a decent squad. But you're right, you know, the games come thick and fast, and if we were to have a really good positive January, you know, that could stand us in really good stead, you know, going into February. Then you're almost, you know, you can almost smell the end of the season because it's not that far away. So, you know, but again, it's the old cliche, you'd have heard it a million times, you know, take one game at a time, play what's in front of us. And that's Marine tomorrow, which will be a difficult game for us. We drew down there, which was a game of two halves. They're a good side. They've got some players that can hurt you. But it's nothing that we haven't come up against this season. And we've dealt with it very, very well. But we've got to be on the ball. We've got to be ready. Which we have done for the majority of this season. So, yeah, you're right. You know, the fixtures are tough, but if we can come through this month in still sitting top of the league, then we'll be in, you know, a fantastic position going into February.
And a fantastic crowd on Boxer Day at Mariners Park. I mean, how important is the crowd going to be tomorrow against Marine?
Ah, massive. You know, they you know, were hugely the reason why Morpeth had their biggest gate ever at the other day in 2,248. I think we had about 1,500, 1,600 Shields fans go up to Morpeth. So, you know, they've been magnificent all season and they will continue to be like that from now till the end of the season. We need them. You know, and I've said all along, when there's a lull in the game or things are not quite going your way, you know, that's when we want the fans to really get behind the team, start seeing, create that atmosphere, because, you know, it really does spur the players on. So they'll play a massive part and hopefully we can give them a lot to cheer about, you know, in this second part of the season, because I think we can all agree, you know, we are where we wanted to be. I think a lot of people in this league expected us to be where we are, but ultimately, you know, it's still, you still have to get there, and now we're there, you know, we're there to be shot at, and, you know, we have to deal with that. And, you know, it's so far so good. The players have really, really stepped up.
Yeah, easy said than done, like you say.
Yeah.
But just a last question, Kevin. It seems remarkable that I'm about to ask you this question, bearing in mind, two questions ago, I read out the fixture list coming up in January. But how much are you looking forward to this second part of the season and what's possible at Mariners Park?
Yeah, of course I'm looking forward to it. You know, there's still 20, I think it's 21 games to go. So we're only just halfway. We're in a really, really good position. We've got a strong squad. We've got a fully fit squad, which is great. So, yeah, me on a personal note, really, really looking forward to the challenge that lies ahead. It'll be no different to the first part of the season. The only difference is now, of course, you know, we're in the second part of the season, and now, you know, we really got to focus. We can't, I think the biggest thing is we can't get carried away. We'll let other people do that, but I'm very conscious of keeping the players' feet on the ground. We've got a huge job to do. A lot can happen. There's sure there'll be some twists and turns, some upsets, some joy. But ultimately, if we keep doing what we're doing and keep getting better, and then we'll have a fantastic chance of trying to get out of this league. But we know it'll be very, very difficult. But yeah, really looking forward to it.
Great stuff. Well, Kevin Phillips, manager of South Shields, a big Happy New Year to you, and a big thank you for joining us, and all the best in January and beyond.
Cheers. Thank you.
Kevin Phillips there, manager of South Shields, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. I did say, James, at the start, just before that interview, that South Shields maintaining that three-point gap. That's because Hyde United also won on Monday. A big win as well over Ashton United. We'll be hearing from Nick Spoon in a second at Hyde. But speaking of managers, we do have to send our best to Michael Clegg, who's departed his role at Turse Cross following that result on Monday. But for Hyde, a fantastic win there to start 2023 with, James.
Yeah, but Hyde United, again, they've got that firepower there. They've got a great away record this season too. It's a very, very interesting time for Hyde. In prime position to have a real good go at the title this year now.
Yeah, it was certainly a good Monday for Hyde United. Let's hear from the manager now at Ewan Fields, and it's a welcome back to the show to Nick Spooner. Well, Nick, a big thank you for joining us and Happy New Year to you. And, great start to the year. 6-0 victory over Ashton United on Monday. Quite a performance. I mean, how was your afternoon?
Yeah, it was good. Happy New Year to you also. It was a great afternoon. It's something we needed. I know it sounds silly, like we're second in the league going into the new year, but I was just getting a bit concerned. We'd gone 6 points out of five games, and the last seven we'd not scored more than one goal, you know, since the Bamber Bridge game. So the form wasn't great going into that game.
And obviously touching upon, I'm sorry to bring it up, I mean, it was a year ago now, but Stalybridge on Boxing Day. Some accounts, I've spoken to a few people, you were bombarding Stalybridge that afternoon. So how important was it to bounce back like you did on Monday?
It was really important. You know, that's the first game since I've been at the football club that I feel the players and myself let the fans down. You know, it's a big occasion, and it's been our problem all year, not scoring goals and taking our chances, you know, four home games. And again, on Boxing Day, we hit the woodwork a couple of times and we didn't take our chances. And then we conceded in the last 5-7 minutes and heads are down. And that was the big disappointment.
I mean, how tricky was that coming back to it? Because we should say you actually were in a decent position because you had a County Cup game, didn't you, in the build-up. So you didn't have that necessarily a whole month out like some teams did. But it was still a tricky period. So how did you manage it, the fitness side of it and the enforced winter break?
Well, we're quite lucky with our facility, aren't we? So we knew we could get on a training ground. So we was fine there. It was just a disappointment as with the, you know, the cancellations and the games. But obviously, yeah, the Macclesfield did really help because we started slow in that game. We was really slow. You could see Macclesfield training full time and they looked sharper than us. But so it was good to get that in. And then obviously the disappointment of Stalybridge, but then we bounced back.
It's been a good start to the season. The first half of the season has been brilliant for Hyde United. But like you say, you were saying about the goal scoring and the form not being quite where you'd like it to be. So how important is that 6-0 victory now for setting up this next part of the season? Because Hyde aren't just involved in the playoff picture. It's a title race here potentially as well. So, I mean, how are you shaping up, do you feel, heading into 2023?
Well, shaping up well, I think when we won at South Shields away, you know, people got a bit too overexcited. You know, we was in a position far too early. So they've had to adjust to, you know, being on top and being shot at. And then that, like you say, that little blip did and the worry of not scoring goals. And that's been my concern all year. You know, the performance has been excellent. We've defended well, but that's what I said on New Year's Day. We just cannot depend on keeping a clean sheet or, you know, the odd goal. So it was really for a confidence booster going in now to the second half of the season. It was great, you know, the lads took the chances, even though we could add more, you know, if I'm going to be critical of the boys. But it was good to be sharing the goals, you know, and obviously now let's hope we can start getting on a good run again.
Now, I remember when you first took over at Ewan Fields. I mean, we did get you on the show, I think, that week or certainly the week after. And here we are now. having this conversation with 4 months of the season left and Hyde very much involved. During that winter break that we've had, did you have time to take a step back and think this has certainly come on leaps and bounds, hasn't it? You must be very proud.
Yeah, I'm very proud. You know, we've got a good team. We've got Gav, we've got Kiner. You know, we've recruited well. And, you know, we came in and basically the remit was stay up, and that was achieved. And then, obviously, you go into this new season, everyone's saying we're favourites to go down. I think that was an incentive for the players. And we've just built a good dressing room and a belief and an enjoyment. And that's what we're saying to the players, you know, come and enjoy ourselves. Let's play attacking football and see what happens. And the boys have been tremendous. They've really reacted to the way we've been coaching and taking information in. And like you say, you pinch yourself sort of. I laugh and joke about when people are saying, oh, you've done a good job there. And when you look at it and you think, wow, yeah, it's not bad, but hopefully now we can stay in the playoffs or push for promotion.
Yeah, and I know what you said about the goal-scoring side of it, but actually this weekend, potentially, if results go a certain way, your goal difference is pretty comparable to South Shields. You could go back to top spot again, which would be quite a statement heading into 2023. Tough game, though, this weekend against Atherton Coles. I mean, what's your thoughts on this one?
We know Atherton, don't they? You know, they're a well-organised team. They'll sit in our place and look for us to break them down and look to hit us on the break. So it's going to be a tough, tough game, without a doubt. But we're just hopefully now push on, like I said before, the confidence, and we're looking to win every game. We've got to improve our home form. The home form's been letting us down a little bit. So like you say, stay as close to South Shields as we can, and hopefully they'll have their little blip.
Yeah, and it's feast or famine stuff at the moment for yourself, because you're one of the clubs who've got a Tuesday game, which is quite novel. We've already on Tuesday. So I mean, it's two tough games, but like you say, two games at home. We've not really touched upon the crowd on Boxing Day. I mean, 1,700 there at Ewan Fields. I know there's Stalybridge Celtic supporters in that mix as well, but the crowds have been going up this season, and a vocal support too. So I mean, how important are they going to be over these two matches this week?
They've been a great support. You know, the fans have, since I've been there, going up and up, and you know, it's tremendous. I'm 1,700 there, you know, 1,400 of our own fans, and they know how important it is now to get behind the boys. And we've got the home form saying, you know, we've got a good opportunity now to pick up some points at home before we go on the road with some tough fixtures. So hopefully we do get the result we need.
Yeah, and obviously it's quite a busy week, isn't it? Because then you've got FC away on the Saturday. So I mean, just generally, Nick, I mean, like we've touched upon here, and managers don't look at league tables, but the fans do. And, you know, everyone must be really excited. But how much are you looking forward to the second part of the season at Hyde United, and what's possible in 2023? Because it's shaping up pretty nicely. But these games coming up are very crucial. But how much are you looking forward to it?
I'm really looking forward. You've seen this league, you know. We've had a look at everyone now. There's not much about it. You look at the results every week and you just think, wow, there goes a strange result. And, you know, perhaps Balpa that weekend was the example. So you're just going into every game. You know they're going to be competitive, and hopefully it's just them fine margins. And if we had the fine margins of goals, we would be in a lovely position. But now we just want to keep winning the games and getting as many points and stay around the playoffs and promotions which can. But we know there's some tough, tough fixtures coming up.
Well, Nick Spooner, manager of Hyde United, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your Thursday to join us on this week's show. Big Happy New Year to you, and all the best in the coming matches.
Cheers, mate. Thanks a lot.
Nick Spooner there, manager of Hyde United, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So 3 points the gap between South Shields and second place Hyde United. What about the team in third? Gainsborough Trinity are in third, 5 points from top spot. They have got a game in hand over Hyde, who they're 2 points behind, but they have played a game more than the current league leader, South Shields. Gainsborough Trinity, though, on Monday, a 3-0 victory at North Holme over Matlock Town. That's a brilliant victory there. James Pollard, the goalkeeper, did get two yellow cards in the first half. So Matlock were down to 10 men. And Clayton Donaldson did score a penalty to make matters worse for Matlock in stoppage time in the second half. So one of those results, but one that certainly Gainsborough Trinity will take with both hands.
Yeah, especially the fact as well, Gainsborough Trinity hadn't played a game in over a month because of the weather and hoping runs at the same time. But yeah, great result there for Gainsborough Trinity, and taking advantage of the fact he's not really an informed team in the league at the moment, if you take away South Shields.
Well, a good result for Gainsborough Trinity on Monday. Let's hear more now about the mood at North Holme following that result there. And as James rightly says, first time Gainsborough have kicked a ball for ages. So not a bad way to get the season back underway. Let's hear from the manager now at Gainsborough Trinity. It's welcome back to the show to Neil Bishop. Well, Neil, a big thank you for joining us and Happy New Year to you. And I just jokingly said to you off air, welcome back to football. Welcome back. How was your month off?
Yeah, I mean, now I'm not playing, it's coming at a fantastic time of year, to be honest, mate, because I had a good Christmas and New Year. Obviously, being involved in professional football for the last 15, 16, 17 years, however long, it's usually one of the busiest periods. But yeah, it's nice to have friends and family. As far as Gainsborough Trinity is concerned, we trained as much as we could. Obviously, massively frustrating, 3 games off. Obviously, great to be back on Monday. And luckily enough, we got off to a great start for 2023.
Yeah, it was a fantastic result against Matlock, especially as well when you factor in the long break from competitive football. And also, I'm sorry to bring it up, and it was ages ago now. It was literally a year ago. Hyde United at the start of December. You've had to sit on that defeat for that long as well. So you must be really proud of the squad, the way they did bounce back on the second.
Yeah, I mean, with the Hyde performance and result, we weren't at the races at all, you know, with the away record we had. I think it's a club record. It was disappointing. We just didn't turn up. Really, really disappointed. And then, like you say, you always think with football, that's all right, because we'll put it right next week or we'll put it right next Tuesday or next Saturday. And obviously, we've had to sit on it. And me being the type of person I am, it certainly stewed with me for a long period of time. But, you know, we've worked the lads really hard. Maybe too hard. We've got one or two little knocks in training. Just wanted to hit the ground running. You know, we're in a fantastic position coming into the new year. We take nothing for granted. We know it's what we're halfway through the season, and we've given ourselves a good chance of being involved towards the top end coming into the season. So really push them in training. And credit to the lads. You know, obviously at this level, you only get to see them twice a week, 3 times if you've got a game. But they've obviously looked after themselves off the pitch. And like you say, I was nervous going into it, to be honest, because you never know if we're going to look lethargic, if it's going to take us 10, 15, half an hour, whatever, to get back in the swing of things. But, you know, we've hit the ground running. Obviously, the sending off helped. But for me, and I think anyone watching that game, we were the better team, was the 11-11. We really deserved the win.
I mean, how keen were you? You mentioned, you know, you worked the lads hard during December when you weren't playing. We saw on Boxing Day when everyone got back, there was a real disparity with results. And I surmise that basically maybe it's because of fitness regimes and that kind of thing over December. To throw in the fact that Matlock did actually play on Boxing Day as well, you must be really pleased with that training regime that you put in December, because it clearly bore fruit.
Yeah, I mean, look... I was the same when I was a player. At the minute I seen a running session, or I was the first to moan and complain. But, you know, when you get to this end of your career, you do see the benefits. And all we emphasise, me and the staff with the lads, is look, you'll see the benefits when you get back on the pitch. It's horrible. You get through it. But I think it creates a mental toughness as well. You saw some of the sessions we did were as hard as what pre-season was. And like you see, it gives you that mental resilience as well as the physical one. Like I say, with Matlock playing as well, Boxing Day, it was always in the back of my mind. There might be a little bit fresher, but we're a very young squad. I mean, I think the average age of our group's about 21 on Monday that we started with. If you take Clayton Donaldson out, it drops well below that. Look, really proud of him. Really proud of the season we're having. But we know, you know, it's only half a job so far.
And just mentioning Clayton Donaldson, I mean, he's having such a cracking campaign, isn't he?
Yeah, I've said previously, it's more than just the goals he brings. It's his older play. He's a focal point for us. It's how he preps himself for games, for training. You know, I talk about we did a lot of running without the balls in December, and he's always part of the group. He doesn't ask to have any special treatment. He's up there. You know, he's as fit as anyone. And again, it's a credit to how he's looked after himself and how he's continued to look after himself over the festive period. For the young group that we've got, I wouldn't say there's a better example for if they want to. A lot of our lads are looking to go higher. We want to push them at them levels, and that's another reason we brought him in, to be that example, to be that role model for the lads. And he's that, like I say, for me, he's the best centre forward in the league. Obviously, I'm an ex-teammate of his, and I'm about to say that, but you know, I watch him week in, week out, and I see what he brings. And like I say, for me, he's the best centre forward in this division.
And touching upon what's to come for Gainsborough, I mean, you probably. You have looked at the league table because you must have had some downtime where you've gone, I might as well look at the league table at this point and see what's happening. I mean, Gainsbury in third in a really good position, 4 points inside the playoffs, 5 points off top spot. Stafford Rangers away this weekend, though, which is a tough, tough game, to say the least. I mean, what's your thoughts as we enter this second part of the season now about where you find your side?
Yeah, look, I think I'd be lying if I told you we expected to be up there. When you see, again, I'm not complaining. I walked into this job with my eyes wide open with the budget we have and where we started in the summer in terms of what we had available to us in squad-wise. I think 4 or 5 bodies. I think we've recruited well as a club. We've got some very good known players in. And like I say, we're just enjoying the season. We're enjoying the ride. And it's what you get with youthfulness is you get bags of energy, you get bags of enthusiasm. I don't think they're looking at the table and, you know, getting carried away. It's so tight, like I say, you lose one or two and you can be mid-table. So I know it's boring and I hate cliches, but I'm going to give you one. We take every game as we come. I played at Stafford last season. I know it's a tough, tough place to go. They're very direct in your faces. It's going to be a massive test for us on Saturday, but when we're relishing, and like I say, we'll go on from that. But it's boring and it's cliches. We're just taking each game as it comes and, like I say, enjoying the position we're in.
Yeah, and I was going to end the interview by asking, what do you think is possible, Neil, at Gainsborough, given, you know, how good it's gone in the first half of the season? You know, you've been involved in football for years. You know what's what. So I don't expect any outlandish predictions at this point from yourself. Yeah. But there is an opportunity here, though, definitely for the playoffs, isn't there? But games like Stafford Rangers, tricky games as well, like Morpeth away, but crucial games, 6-pointers like at home to Marine in a couple of weeks' time. These are big games coming up, but they're all big games, aren't they? But you must be very excited about what's possible.
Yeah, I'm fantastic. Look, I'm brand new to this position. I've got a lot of players who were probably in the first season in men's football. We're just enjoying the ride. Like I say, I'm certainly not getting carried away. I've seen teams blow up and I've seen teams come from absolutely nowhere to make the playoffs. Look, there's probably 15 teams who look at that division now and realistically think if they put a run together, they'll be involved in the playoffs. And, you know, it's a fantastic division. You know, like you say, you've got to be on it every game. We went to Belper, we were bottom at the time and gave us a right good game. They took the lead and made it difficult. It's a good league. And like I say, one we're relishing being involved in. We ain't getting our head of ourselves, but, you know, we've been up there for the majority of the season out there or thereabouts. And we just want a strong finish and see where that takes us. I try not to look at the league. I've got points totals in my head where I want us to be and expect us to be. And if that gets us in the playoffs, that does. Like I say, we can't affect anyone else. What other teams do, I'm a firm believer that if we concentrate ourselves, then everything else will take care of itself.
Great stuff. Well, Neil Bishop, manager of Gainsborough Trinity, a big, big thank you for taking the time out of your day to join us this week. A big happy new year to you and all the best for Stafford this weekend and all the best in the second half of the season.
Yeah, thanks mate, all the best.
Neil Bishop there, manager of Gainsborough Trinity, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. So 3 points for Gainsborough Trinity, 3 points as well for Bamber Bridge, a 2-1 victory for Bamber Bridge. Good result, because Marine got beat, so Bamber Bridge now up to fourth and 3 points clear of sixth place Marine. So, I mean, the goal difference is going to be a problem for Bamber Bridge in the coming weeks, but with victories like that, James, they could quickly overturn that negative goal difference and start to get into positive territory. And at the minute, it's all positives at Bamber Bridge, apart from that.
Like I said a minute ago, there's not many teams on form in this league at the moment. Bamber Bridge are. That's 4 unbeaten now for him in the league.
Yeah, Paul Dawson there scoring the winner with 9 minutes to play at Iron Gate. I mentioned Marine's defeat. They were beaten by Warrington Rylands. What a good set of results for Warrington Rylands recently. A 3-1 victory for them on Merseyside sees Warrington Rylands into the playoff positions. Bamber Bridge and Warrington Rylands have played a couple of games more than everyone else. But, James, you'd rather have the points on the board, wouldn't you?
Indeed.
First cliche 2023, everyone. No, there's been more, hasn't there, on this week's show already. But anyway, yeah. Good result for Warrington Rylands there, James.
A little bit of a goal-scoring streak. So again, 7 goals over the Christmas period. And again, a great result against the Marine side who are fighting for the playoffs too. Rylands have turned that little bit of a corner now.
Well, have Radcliffe turned a corner? They picked up a very good 1-0 victory on Monday over FC United in a local derby. Fantastic crowd there as well, we should say, at Stated Park. Oh, 2,081. Am I right in saying, James, that's a new record at Radcliffe? Or it's certainly up there?
It's the new club record, but it's not the ground record, which is held by Castle and Gabriels against FC United.
I was at that game. I remember that. Anyway, well, there we go. But yeah, a good result there for Radcliffe, James. Sees Radcliffe in seventh.
Great yard of Eric Smith to win the game. But again, FC United on another afternoon could have easily got a point out of that one as well. But Radcliffe deserved it at the end of the day, it feels like.
Well, 3 points for Radcliffe on Monday. Let's hear now from the player manager at Stainton Park. It's a welcome back to the show to Bobby Grant. Well, Bobby, a big welcome back to the show and a happy new year to you. And congratulations for that win over FC United on Monday. I mean, how was your afternoon?
Yeah, thank you. Happy new year to yourselves. But the afternoon against FC United was superb from start to finish. You know, the lads conducted themselves properly through the week. They trained ever so hard and, you know, they carried that work rate and attitude into that game. And we set up the right way. FC United are a decent side. They've got some good footballing players. They've got a threat in Regan Linney. But, you know, in terms of the way we went about our business, we more than deserved the 3 points. You know, I think first half, they had a couple of chances, but we should have been 2-3-0 up before they had them chances. But overall, I was delighted with the performance. I was delighted with the work rate and attitude. When you put that much of a shift in, 9 times out of 10, you come out with the right result.
Now, I'll discuss the league table with you in a second or two. I know managers don't like looking at league tables, but it is interesting. But how crucial was it to get back to winning ways as well? Because obviously we had the winter break that no one really wanted. You come back on Boxing Day, you know, a tough Warrington Rylands team. So how important was it to get back to winning ways against another tough fellow playoff chaser in FC United?
Yeah, it was massive because honesty is key, and as a manager, I think honesty is the best way forward. There's no hiding place, and you know we should not be going to Warrington Rylands and getting beat 4-0. We did, and a lot of questions were asked, and rightly so. And it was the exact same for me as a young manager. That was the lowest point I've ever felt as a manager. So a lot of decisions had to be made in terms of personnel on and off the pitch. And, you know, we've made them changes, we've made them decisions, and it's no coincidence that we had a great week after the Warrington Rylands game. We had a great week of training, and then we put that type of shift in. But, you know, as I've said to the players, I've said to the staff, they're the standard that I'd expected at this football club while I'm here as manager, and not the ones that we had at Warrington Rylands, because that doesn't represent myself, that doesn't represent anyone at this football club. And, you know, that was a low point, but we bounced back against FC United, and it was really important. We got them 3 points to sort of put us back in that pack.
I mean, 1 point outside the playoffs, you've got games in hand as well over the likes of Warrington Rylands and Bamber Bridge. Yeah. And speaking of Bamber Bridge, obviously, a while ago, Jamie Milligan's side had a lull, really. A couple of wins, they got themselves in the playoffs. I mean, your form up until the FC United win had been dipping slightly. I mean, are you hopeful now that as we head into 2023 and the tough January fixtures coming up, that could be replicated at Stainton Park?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Jamie Milligan's an experienced manager at this level. He understands football. He enjoys it. I've spoke to Millie myself regarding a difficult period, but you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm a firm believer in you have to work hard, and that's the non-negotiable. Work rate is a must, and when your form dips, the only way to get it back is to work even harder, and we certainly done that. So now it's a case of, are we disappointed where we are? Yeah, we've had too many draws this season in the first part of it, but you know, to start the new year with a win at home to FC United, where there was a big crowd. You know, I was delighted with that. But as I said after the game, that's just another 3 points. And all our attention this week after that game is focused on Marsk. And, you know, we now need to back them 3 points up, hopefully with another 3 points tomorrow.
And speaking of that crowd, obviously, I think it was a record for Radcliffe over 2,000 there. Obviously, there was a good number of FC supporters there. But if you look at those attendances in November, it was heading towards 1,000 then. So, I mean, that must be a good sign to yourself, you know, the committee and the directors at the club, that this is heading in the right direction here at Radcliffe.
Yeah, well, 100%. And, you know, I always say, well, at a football club, the only way to attract crowds is by winning games. And especially home fans, if you want them in the building, then you have to produce on the pitch. And, you know, people don't like coming to games and going home disappointed, having lost. So that's down to myself and the team to make sure we produce a style of play and pick up points. And, you know, if you do that, then naturally people will come and watch, people will come and support the local team, and the crowds have been up from last year. But, you know, the most important thing is we continue to work hard as a football club and do everything we can possibly do within ourselves to take the club forward. And, you know, I massively believe in the group we've now got here. And, you know, I believe the football club is going in the right direction. And, you know, it's, as I say, the only non-negotiable at the football club is you have to work hard. If you haven't got the mentality to work hard, then, you know, you won't be here.
And it's interesting as well, Bobby, because I obviously spoke to you when you first got appointed. And at that point, you were very much a player and then a manager. Yeah. And obviously, we saw that with the goals haul last season for yourself. I mean, are you starting to... It comes across in this interview that there's been a step change in that time. And now I think of you more as a manager than a player. I mean, how are you adapting, basically, to this transition? Because that's the secret, isn't it? That this transition that you're going to have to make over, not necessarily this season, but certainly in the seasons to come.
Yeah, of course. And I think you start the season as you want to keep playing. You want to keep playing. But I have to do what's best for the football club. And anyone who tells you it's easy to be a player manager is telling Porky. I'm not going to lie. It's very, very difficult to do. It's very difficult to do. And, you know, there's been times this season where I've really struggled to get the balance right of doing both. You know, and that's a conversation I had. And I've got enough quality and enough bodies in the building. Am I going to step back from playing? Well, no, but there's going to become a point where the transition has to happen, because I believe it's an impossible job to play and manage. So I've learned massively from last year. I've got so much experience in doing it. But, you know, at some point it's going to be a case of, you know, handing the baton over to the players, because I see my future in management. I have ambitions with Radcliffe to take the club up the leagues. And also I have personal ambitions that at some point to manage as high as I possibly can. And, you know, to do that, I need to get so much experience under my belt as a manager.
And that experience comes from, let's touch upon these games coming up, because, you know, this is what the Northern Premier League's all about, isn't it, this weekend? Mask away, then you've got a County Cup game against Ashton, and then an away game back in the league against Stalybridge. Two teams down towards the bottom end of the table who, you know, would like to get clear of that. These are tough games coming up in the league, aren't they, away from home?
Yeah, they are, and, you know, they're difficult places to go. And there's no easy game in this league. Top can be bottom, bottom can be top. It's just who turns up and who's prepared to work harder on the day. And, you know, I think at this level, your work rate has to be a must and the performance will follow. So, you know, it's a case of getting your mindset right, pressing the reset button and taking it game by game. And there's never an easy game. And if you go into that, if the team go into that thinking this is going to be easy, then the bottom line is you'll get beat. And, you know, lads need to now embrace that there's a lot of games coming up. I think it's 3 months, 3.5 months left of the season. And, you know, you have to make sacrifices and commitments to achieve the goal that, you know, every single team in this division wants to achieve, which is to get out of this league.
And last question, Bobby. It does come across pretty loud and clear in this interview. How much are you looking forward to this second part of the season now, and, you know, this pretty frantic playoff race that's going on that Radcliffe are very much a part of? How much are you looking forward to the challenge of getting Radcliffe where you want them to be?
Yeah, they're very much so. You know, it's the first part of the season's done. There was a lot of difficult challenges. We had some disappointing results. We also had some very good results. So now it's about getting the consistency right. And, you know, if we do that, then we've got enough quality to get where we need to be. But, you know, as I say, all the focus is on ourselves. We'll do our own work on the opposition. We'll make sure we've prepared as best as we can. And then it's over to us to go and perform. And, you know, if we do that, the fans here will always give us the support we need. So, you know, as I say, hopefully me and you are having a conversation at the end of the season and we've achieved our goals. But it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there.
Well, Bobby Grant, player manager at Radcliffe, a big, big thank you for taking the time out your Friday to join us on this week's show. Big happy new year to you once again, and all the best for this running.
Cheers, thank you, take care.
Bobby Grant there, player manager at Radcliffe, a 1-0 victory for Radcliffe over FC United, and a fantastic attendance there at Stater Park on Monday. FC United are in eighth. Warrington Town, They too are 2 points outside the playoffs. They drew 1-1 with Nantwich Town. And I'm going to suggest, James, given Nantwich's recent form, admittedly they were beaten in their last outing, but generally they're a different proposition. So that's a decent point, that, for Warrington Town, especially as when considered too that Nantwich took the lead after a minute.
I think Warrington are pre-draws on the bounce and a win in December. Nantwich as well have a good record at this moment too. So I'm going to say that's a fair result for both teams. So fair play for both sides there.
Yeah, there was a draw as well, a 1-1 draw, a mirror result between Atherton Coles and Lancaster City in what many people are describing as the biggest shock of Monday. I think at the start of the day, I think a lot of people would have gone, that's probably going to be a draw. There's not too much separating those two teams ahead of that game, and there certainly wasn't at 5 o'clock on Monday either. Just kept a bit of a buffer between Atherton Coles, Lancaster City and the relegation places. Just two more results from the weekend. We'll go to Belper Town first. Belper Town with a very, very good 2-1 victory over Stafford Rangers. I don't think many people were expecting a result like that. A result which sees Belper Town off the bottom of the table, where Belper Town have been since the 15th of October. So a pretty big move there. A very, very good result. But James, Steve Kitchick, the manager of Belper Town, departed the club, sending our best wishes to Steve, obviously. But he's left Belper Town there with 3 points and off the bottom of the table. But Stafford Rangers, as a result of that defeat, are in 11th. But 3 points from the playoffs. So still a long way to go. But for Belper, that's given them a bit of hope. 7 points the gap now between themselves and Morpeth Town above that relegation line. And Belper Town were helped in getting off the bottom of the table on Monday by Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic 4, Liversidge 2. Matty Carson there scoring a hat-trick for Stalybridge Celtic at Bowerfold on Monday. Big, big result, that one. See Stalybridge up to 16th now, James. It could quickly turn around, can't it? Manchester United and Nantwich Town dropping into the relegation places after their 1-1 draw with Warrington Town. Can you believe it? It's going to be like that for the next... Probably going to be like that till April, I'm going to suggest. That kind of yo-yoing and chopping and changing the relegation places. But Stalybridge Celtic, what an afternoon they had.
Ignoring the fact they won the Tameside Derby, it's tied as well. Let's not forget that.
Yes.
36 points over Christmas and again puts themselves in a favourable position out of the relegation zone at this moment.
Well, let's say the mood now at Bowerfold, and it's a big welcome back to the show to the manager at Stalybridge Celtic. Here's Chris Wilcock. Well, Chris, a big thank you for joining us and a big Happy New Year to you. And, well, it's been a great return after the enforced winter break. Two wins from two. What's the mood like at Stalybridge at the moment?
Yeah, we're in very good mood at the moment with the two wins back-to-back. It's the first time we've been able to do that, which is pleasing. As I said to you previously when I was on the radio, the performances that we'd had in the prior to the last half a dozen games have been very good, but we weren't picking up the points. Our performances were just reward, so we're very pleased at the moment, mate.
Absolutely, and kicking things off, with the Boxing Day win against Hyde, going into that game, like you said, the form's been pretty decent at Stalybridge up to that point, but the form was pretty good at Hyde United as well, so that's a phenomenal result, really.
Yeah, it was. We were outstanding from start to finish on the day, and you have to be when, the teams that are up there. When you go to their away fixtures against the better sides at the top of the table, it's going to be a tough ask. But, we had a fantastic performance. And obviously, a wonder goal from Chris, won us the game. So, we're very pleased with our form during the course of the day.
Yeah, and obviously when it comes to Stalybridge Celtic, I think the last time we spoke, it was after the 3-0 win against Stafford, if memory serves. And obviously with the winter break we've had, I think you were hoping to keep that level of goal scoring up, and you certainly did that on the second against Liversidge. And, what a result that was. It propelled you right out the relegation places into mid-table. It's awfully nip and tuck, as we should say as well. But, that's great form heading into 2023 now in the second part of the season.
Yeah, it has done. But, the league's very tight, as you know, from top to bottom, to be honest. So on any given day, you put a couple of wins together, you find yourself moving up a number of places, as a number of teams have it over recent weeks. Building up to the start of 2023, there's been a number of teams that put good runs together and found themselves in good position in the table. But, from our point of view, we're just now focusing on Saturday's game at Lancaster.
Matty Carson with a hat-trick in that game. That's quite a performance from him.
Yeah, it was. You know, he's had one of those red-letter days where he's very good on set pieces. He's shown his quality. He's been very consistent since he came in and joined us, and we're hoping that long may that continue with him scoring from set pieces. But yeah, fantastic day for him, and special day to get a hat trick, especially as a defender. So I'm sure he's got a few copies of the game on order for the family, and yeah, he's well deserved. He's been very consistent since he arrived.
Was there any danger of him not taking that penalty?
Well, Raul picked up an injury, to be fair.
Oh, fair enough.
Just prior, he was our normal penalty taker. I think if Raul had been fully fit, it would have been very difficult. It would have been a wrestling match. But yeah, it was a nice gesture from him, and the young man was able to took it away for his hat trick. So
yeah, and obviously, you know, you're hoping to make it 3 wins from 3, and that brilliant result against Warrington Town before the enforced winter break. You've come out of this winter break now with these two fantastic victories and you know, in buoyant mood. How tricky was that whole month or so of not playing football? And how did you keep everyone match fit and as fit as possible during that downtime?
Yeah, it was challenging, but we worked hard on keeping the lads as sharp as possible. So we were able to hopefully go straight back into it once the games came around after the enforced break. We've done more or less a mini pre-season in that period. We're able to play a number of friendly fixtures behind closed doors as well, which enabled us to keep our sharpness, and that's helped us immensely going into the fixtures over the festive period, which we've been able to, obviously, as you say, get back-to-back wins.
And just looking ahead, obviously Lancaster away this weekend, and I've been doing this show long enough now, Chris, to know that managers don't look at league tables and all that, so I'll let you know what a win could do. A win could see you up to 12th if results go a certain way and the goal difference side of things. That would be tremendous, wouldn't it? But it's a tough game this weekend against Lancaster. But that's the pot of gold there, potentially, if you pick up a win.
Yeah, maybe. But again, I've not looked at it. As you say, it's just about focusing on our preparations for that and making sure there'll be a different type of challenge than Livers Edge and Hyde. Lancaster, we've played them, you know, 3 times already this season. So, you know, we managed to pick up an hour win at home in the league, and then we've had 2 close games in the FA Cup against them. So we know each other very well, and I'm sure it'll be a close game between 2 good sides on Saturday.
Yeah, and as we've discussed in this interview here, you know, minus the enforced winter break, it's going pretty well at Stalybridge Celtic. How much are you looking forward to the second part of the season now? And it's coming across in this interview, you know, you're not getting too carried away, taking it game by game, but it's certainly going in the right direction. So, I mean, Chris, how much are you looking forward to the next bit of the season and hopefully for yourselves rising up the table?
Yeah, I mean, the mindset changes when you're winning games. You know, we've found ourselves at the bottom end of the table for the majority of the first part of the season. And now we're looking to push on and have a stronger end to 2023 and see where that leaves us. So, yeah, we're extremely buoyant at the moment. Confidence is sky high off the back of the last 2 results. And hopefully we can take that into Saturday and come away with another victory.
Well, it's certainly been a cracking start to this second part of the season, Chris. Chris Wilcott, manager of Stalybridge Celtic, a big, big thank you for joining us. Happy New Year to you, and all the best in the coming matches, and all the best for Lancaster this weekend.
Thanks, Ben. Happy New Year to all the listeners, and Happy New Year to yourself and your family.
Chris Wilcott there, manager of Stalybridge Celtic, joining us here on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. We're going to be joined by Mark Rovers in a second for a fixture preview for this weekend's matches, which are taking place on Saturday. When did we last have a round of fixtures on Saturday, James? It's ages ago, wasn't it?
December the 3rd.
December the 3rd, yeah. So it was a year ago. Well, Happy New Year to you, James. Just before you go... Just a quick plug for the social media channels. How can people keep across all the action this weekend on a busy Saturday in the Northern Premier League Premier Division?
Yeah, Facebook, Instagram, Official Northern Premier, and then on Twitter, Northern Premier League. And as we broke the news, congratulations to Worksop Town, who have now broken a league record, the 19 wins in a row. Freaks, wow. Beating a 29-year-old record set by Geisler in the 1994 season. So, yeah.
Yep. I mean, it's a fantastic achievement by Worksop Town, and we'll catch up with Craig again, obviously, on the Step 4 show. But James, a big, big thank you for joining us on this week's show, and keep up the excellent work, and we'll be hearing from you again next week for the monthly show.
No worries, man. Thank you very much.
Well, a big thank you to James Hayes for joining us on this week's show, but it's now time to look into the future, and we're now well and truly into 2023, the second half of the season, and I'm calling it now, we're in the running, everyone. That's right. And joining me to begin this running, it's a big welcome back to the show now to North East football writer, it's Mark Carruthers. Welcome back, Mark. Happy New Year.
All the best to everyone. That's going to be the longest running ever, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and we recorded that bit with James there on Wednesday. We've had some news since, so we might as well cover that news off now. Firstly, big congratulations to Michael Clegg, obviously departing Ashton United. We're a piece of silverware, we should say, with the Manchester Premier Cup success at the end of last season, but he's now been appointed as chief scout at Altrincham, so a big congratulations. And replacing Michael Clegg at Ashton United, Steve Cunningham's come in, which is... Well, that's a sign of intent from Ashton United, a manager who knows this level very, very well. And also, congratulations to Lee Attenborough, who's now the manager at Belper Town. And we've had Lee on the Step 4 show a number of times. Very, very impressive when we've interviewed him when he was manager at Loughborough and at Corby. So he's now in charge at Belper Town. So let's get into it, Mark, and discuss the fixtures for this weekend. The first set of Saturday matches, I think... Since the 3rd of December, I think that's correct.
Sounds about right, yeah.
Yeah, that's
scary.
Scary, very scary. So here we are. Let's kick things off with game of the weekend. I think I'm safe in saying this. South Shields hosting Marine, first hosting six. Marine dropping out of the playoff spots, but only 1 point outside of them at the moment with games in hand. So tough test this one for South Shields.
It is a very tough test, and I always think that about Marine, though. No matter where they go, home or away, they always provide a stern test. They're well organised, they're well drilled. I don't want to call it banana skin, because that sounds really disrespectful to Marine, but it is a really tough challenge that will say a lot about South Shields' attitude. They obviously go into it in decent form. I think the transfer business they've done in recent weeks has been good. Jody Mongoy's come in and made a real impact on loan from Wealdstone, but that's now being made permanent. I was a little bit surprised they allowed Sam Hodgson to go out on loan to Stockton, but Sam does need game time, and he's made a pretty positive start to his life down there. But I think, yeah, I think this one, South Shields have just got a bit of momentum. Obviously, they always enjoy a win over Morpeth, and I think that win on Monday maybe just signified a slightly different side to this South Shields side. I think I've alluded to this before this season, but they just look a little bit more solid than they have maybe in previous seasons, and they can go to places like Morpeth and eke out a win, and that'll have been a big boost. I think Tom Broadbent obviously got the goal there. He's turning into a key player for the Mariners, so although that could be both clubs, can't it, this weekend, the Mariners. I think South Shields will win this one, but I think it may be quite similar to the Morpeth game, where it'll be a single goal win, like a 2-1 or a 1-0.
South Shields taking on Marine, I think a candidate for game of the weekend, and as we touched upon there, a tricky game for the league leaders. Hyde United currently sitting second, 3 points behind the league leaders, South Shields. Hyde have played two games more, but the goal difference is pretty comparable, actually. Hyde United this weekend will be hosting Atherton Coles. Atherton Coles, after that 1-1 draw on the 2nd of January, Hyde will be slightly confident in this one, but it is a tough one.
It is, yeah. I think Atherton are in a strange position, though, because they are still kind of looking over their shoulders at the sort of bottom four. I think they've got a 4-point gap, but then they're in sort of no man's land, really, because they're within touching distance of moving into the top 12 and getting really towards mid-table. Hyde, I've got to be honest, what I've seen of Hyde this season, that was the win at South Shields, really, really impressed with them. Plenty of experience in that side. Again, I keep using this word organised, but I think that's what it takes to get out of this league. They just look as if they've taken a step forward, quite a big step forward from last season. They are organised, they are disciplined, but they've also got real attack and threat, and I think that's what will see them over the line in this one. I can see them really pushing South Shields until the end of the season.
And Gainsborough Trinity will also be looking to push the two teams above them in the league table. We obviously heard from Neil Bishop earlier in the show. A fantastic result against Matlock Town. Admittedly, Matlock did go down to 10 men, but to come back after a month off, like Gainsborough had, and then to pull out a 3-0 victory against a fellow promotion contender like Matlock Town is very impressive. Gainsborough Trinity this weekend, travelling to Stafford Rangers. Stafford with a bit of a shock result against Belper Town. They'll be looking to bounce back. Stafford in 11th, incidentally, 3 points from the playoffs, which goes to show how close it all is at the moment. But Gainsborough will be looking for an away victory, which is something that's been pretty common this season for them.
Yeah, I mean, if I can go into horrible manager speak for a moment and probably throw out about a billion cliches here.
Go for it. We love it.
It's kind of all about the reaction here, isn't it, from Stafford. They'll want a reaction to that defeat. Belper having not the greatest season. So for Stafford, who still have aspirations of a playoff push, to go there and get beat, it will be all about the reaction. But probably the last thing they would have wanted was to face a Gainsborough side, even though it is at home, but facing a Gainsborough side on the back of that brilliant win against Matlock. Again, I talk about experienced Gainsborough, just full of it, aren't they? They've got so many experienced players in there that kind of know how to get a result at this level and at higher levels. I wouldn't be shocked if this one is a narrow Gainsborough win and they continue pushing at the top end.
And Bamber Bridge are in fourth position at the moment, 6 points from South Shields and 3 points inside the playoffs. If results go a certain way this weekend, Bamber Bridge could find themselves not only in third position, but also with a decent buffer to that playoff line. Bamber Bridge travelling to Liversidge this weekend. Liversidge now bottom of the table after that result for Belper Town on the second. Bamber Bridge will be looking for an away win here, but I mean, Liversidge have got a good squad. It's just where they are in the league table, and the league table at this stage of the season, I'm going to say it, I'm going to do a cliche, the league table doesn't lie. There you go, there's one. That's for free.
I think we should start finding ourselves for every cliche. Don't donate the money to charity. I suppose at Bamber, we look at what they did last season. They looked very promising, had a number of really good players on loan. They've kind of continued that momentum into this season. Liversedge, I saw them a few times last year in the East Division. I know they've got a much changed squad from the one that won that division, and it just hasn't quite happened for them in the Premier. At the moment, there will be a threat, but again, I think Bamber Bridge, their quality will shine through. They could actually end the weekend in second, but it would take the most unlikely results, wouldn't it? I think it would be quite the turnaround and goal difference for them to go into second.
Yeah, I mean, at the minute, Bamber Bridge are the only team in the top 11 with a negative goal difference. But if they keep winning the way they have been doing, that'll soon get back into positive territory. Bamber Bridge in fourth. Warrington Rylands have got themselves into the playoff positions. They're in fifth position, taking on Ashton United this weekend. Jody Banham taking on his old side. Warrington Rylands have got themselves in a good spot here. They have played a few games more than everyone else. But, and another one, everyone, I hope you've got your bingo cards at home. You'd rather have the points on the board at this stage of the season, wouldn't you, than the games in hand?
Yeah, Warrington Rylands, a side I've seen over the last couple of seasons and saw them earlier this year at South Shields as well. They've just continued that momentum from the brilliant win they had last year and we should say from a couple of years ago when they won the FA Vars. They feel as if there's just a bit of momentum growing at Rylands now. It's an interesting one, I think. When you look at Ashton, we again, it's all about reaction.
Steve Cunningham is a good motivator and a very good manager at this level, so you'd expect a decent reaction this weekend from Ashton.
Well, I think the thing is, when you're appointing a manager at this level, you need someone who has a good contact list and you need someone who can motivate and someone who knows the level. And he, you know, he ticks all those boxes. He's been there. He's done it at this level. He's proven he can build a side. And that's what Ashton will hope. I think from my point of view, they are one of the clubs that will hope to build momentum over the second half of the season. Yes, they are in the lower half of the table just to losing those 3 points. But if they can kick on and build momentum under Steve, you know, they're not, what, 7 points off the playoffs at the moment. It's not beyond the realms to think that they could force their way into that if Steve can hit the ground running.
Marina in sixth, as we said. In seventh position, we've got Radcliffe. Radcliffe 1 point behind Warrington Rylands and on the same number of points as Marine. Radcliffe with a great result at the week on Monday against FC United. Travelling to Mask United this weekend. And for Mask, the games in hand are piling up here, aren't they? This is starting to become a bit of a problem, I'm going to suggest, for Curtis Woodhouse. Although saying that, everyone else is playing Saturday games. At this stage, they can afford a few Tuesday matches in there, but it does pose a bit of a challenge for Mask.
It feels like forever since Mask actually had a game. And it's easy to forget that the last game they did play, they got a 2-1 win against Marine.
Yeah, trophy.
And again, I look at that squad, and I look at what Curtis Woodhouse has got in that squad at Mask. And although, as you said earlier, you know, the league table doesn't lie, I think with Mask, they are better than their league position suggests. I know they've gone or undergone a big change losing Carl Jarrett, who'd been there for years and done such a good job, and they still are adjusting. But I do think there will be an improvement. But again, cliche again, but the points are in the bag for the other clubs, and it's down to Mask really to put a run together. Look at the next three games. I mean, Ratcliffe at home, Farsley away, Liversedge at home. That feels like a big 10 days in the season.
Yeah, and they'll also be hoping for a positive result against Radcliffe, obviously, but they'll be hoping that Whitby Town, who are just 2 points up the road from Mask United and a few miles up the road as well, that Whitby Town will be dropping points this week, and they're travelling to FC United on Saturday. FC United, 2 points outside the playoffs. They do have a game in hand. I mean, on Monday, it was just they created chances, but they just didn't really hit the target. They'll be hoping for a bit better on Saturday against Whitby.
Yeah, I think it's a game that FC will have looked at and thought they can get a result and really get back into that playoff mix. You know, it's not beyond the possibility that they will end the weekend in the playoffs. But with Whitby, I just feel as if there have been signs of life recently. There's been some really positive results. I know they got obviously beaten by South Shields on Boxing Day in the last game. But, you know, we look before that at a decent draw with Hyde. They've had a couple of notable wins as well. So, again, we talk about squads being better than league position suggests. I think there's more to come from Whitby. I do think they'll start climbing the table soon, but they do need to get a win. I don't think they'll get it this weekend, if I'm honest. I think FC will get the win because they'll want to bounce back from that Ratcliffe defeat, and I think they'll do it.
What about Warrington Town? Warrington Town are in ninth, 2 points outside the playoffs. They too have games in hand. They've got two games in hand on Bamber Bridge and their local rivals, Warrington Rylands. Warrington Town this weekend taking on Belper Town. Belper Town proved themselves certainly against Stafford Rangers on the second. They've got a new manager in charge in Lee Attenborough, and yeah, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, looking at Warrington, I think we spoke in November, they were going through a little bit of a sticky spell when they were beaten by, I think, Whitby, Mask and Guiseley, but then went on a positive run. They're four games unbeaten, obviously beat South Shields as well during that time. So there are positives. And again, we look at this Warrington squad, and it's very much a case of a lot of players that have been there and done it at this level. They know how to grind out results. Probably facing a little bit of an unknown this weekend, given the change at Belper. But I think Warrington will get a win in this one.
And then we've got Matlock Town. Matlock Town also 2 points outside the playoffs. It's so close, isn't it, this top 11? It's ridiculous. Matlock Town in 10th currently, 2 points of the playoffs. They're taking on Morpeth Town this weekend. Morpeth Town outside the relegation places on goal difference alone and the same number of points as Nantwich. A point ahead of Mask United. They're a point behind Whitby, 2 points behind Stalybridge, 3 points behind Lancaster, 4 points behind Atherton Coles. It's tight around the playoff line. It's tight around the relegation line. Both teams with something to play for this weekend. Matlock against Morpeth in the M Derby. There we go.
Yeah, it's this one's with Morpeth. I keep looking at them, and you expect an improvement with every passing game. I know there's still a lot of time left in the season, but it just has to improve. And again, I look at the quality in their squad. It's down to Craig Lynch and his management team's coaching staff to get an improvement. It's not going to be easy by any stretch going to Matlock. I think Morpeth won the reverse fixture as well early in the season, possibly in the first week of the season, I think it was. So this one, just the moment, it feels possibly a step too far for Morpeth. And I think their bad run may extend.
Well, that's Matlock Town taking on Morpeth this weekend. We mentioned Stafford Rangers. They're in 11th. They're taking on Gainsborough Trinity. Two big games down towards the bottom end of the table. Let's touch upon Lancaster City, firstly, against in-form Stalybridge Celtic. All of a sudden, Stalybridge in 16th, 1 point behind Lancaster City. Lancaster's results haven't been particularly that bad. It's just Stalybridge has been out of this world in recent fixtures. I mean, can Stalybridge just keep it going and actually propel themselves? Blimey, goal difference wise, they could be 12th come 5 o'clock on Saturday. That would be some transformation, wouldn't it?
You know, we talk about when you're at the bottom end of the table of getting results against the teams in and around you in the table and getting wins over them. But Stalybridge have gone a step further than that, have they? Yes, they beat Liversedge on Monday, but getting the Boxing Day win against Hyde, unbelievable result. You know, it's not a one-off by any stretch either. They are picking up results. They've got a draw against Warrington and then that win against Stafford as well back in November, which feels like forever ago, doesn't it? But I think when you look at Stalybridge's key players, you know, the likes of Dagnall, he's starting to find form and find the net. They're basically, the momentum is with them now. And once you get on a run, it's hard to stop, or hard for opposition to stop you, I guess I should say. So, yeah, I think Stalybridge will continue their good form.
And last fixture for Saturday, Guiseley taking on Nantwich Town, another important one. Guiseley are in 13th position at the moment, Nantwich in 19th, but 4 points the gap between those two teams. Nantwich's form's been good. Paul Phillips is coming at Guiseley, minus the result on Monday. It's been a decent introduction to Paul Phillips at Nevermore. I know they were beaten by Halifax in the trophy, but only by 1-0. So you'd expect Guiseley to want to be bouncing back after the Bamber Bridge result. But Nantwich were pretty good up until the winter break. So Richie Sutton will be looking to get that run going again in 2023 at Nantwich.
Yeah, and I think they'll see this as a really good opportunity to sort of pull another team really back into the mix for relegation. As you say, if they can get a win, they'll go then point behind Guiseley and really pull them back into the relegation battle. Not that they're too far out of it, as they are. But as I said earlier, looking at when you make an appointment, you want a manager that's been done at this level, and Guiseley have done that. They'll want to get a result after what happened on Monday. I really fancy this one. It's absolutely sitting on the fence, but I fancy this one to be a draw.
Well, there we go. Well, Mark, a big thank you for that. That was a job well done. The first fixture preview for a round of Saturday matches in 2023. So a big thank you, Mark, for that. Just before you go, just a quick plug for your work. Lots of games for yourself to come in January. I mean, how can people follow you and where are you off to this week?
I'm actually off to the East Division Northeast Derby between North Shields and Consett, two former Northern League clubs as well, so should be a good battle. So I'll be there on Saturday, and people can stay in touch and keep up to date via my Twitter at @MarkCruthers_.
Great stuff. Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us. All the best for 2023. I'll catch up very soon.
Thanks for having me.
And a big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining me on this week's show, and a big thank you to all my guests for joining us on this week's edition of the Pitching In NPL show. Remember, for all the latest goings on from the world of the Northern Premier League, you can visit the website www.thenpl.co.uk. But I've been Ben, and you'll make sure you all have a lovely and safe weekend. Bye-bye.